So thank you for coming. This talk I will give a story about DRBO and Chronzia. So we are from the DRBO and Chronzia team, of course. Okay, so these two projects actually are mainly developed in NCSC. NCSC is National Center for High Performance Computing. It's next to this campus, just maybe 5 minutes walking distance. And I will give a few background, then I will tell the whole story, and I prepare more than 100 photos, not slides, okay? Just 100 photos to tell you the history, okay? So NCSC was founded in 1991, and you know, basically there are three branches in Hsinchu here, and Taichung and Tainan, and we provide the core facilities for the research institute and universities and government and some of the industries. So we have computing resource, storage, and networking. Okay. So we also for the free software, open source, and open data, we provide some of the mirror sites, for example, for Debian, for Ubuntu, for Fedora, something open source, VLC, Firefox, something like that. And also, NCSC is one of the source board mirror sites, and OSDM mirror site is open source distributed network, I think. Yeah, I forgot the full name. And also, it's, we also run open StreamMap mirror site, cache server, actually. So I can give you some of the, hold on. Yeah, that's the, if you go to the NCSC website and free software labs, and you can check the mirror site, we have some of the mirror service here, okay? Of course, Debian is one of them, okay? And as I mentioned, SourceForge, okay? We are one of the mirror sites, and OSDN, yeah, you can see one, yeah, NCSC. And also for the OpenStreetMap, the open data for the geodata, and you can see that the site in Hsinchu actually serves for the, I think, I remember it's about 21 countries, or 21 countries in Asia, okay? And this one, this server is right, yeah, we are just right in the NCSC building, not very far, okay? So I back to my slides. And I mentioned two projects, right? The first one is DRBO. The full name we gave it in the beginning, we should have a better name, but you know, it's used, and more than 5 years later, and we think, oh, it grew up, and we should give a better name. But we try to change the name, but still, it's not easy. So we keep the full name, DRBO, Diskless Remote Boot in Linux. Basically, you can, from the service, you understand it's just one server, and the provider, you know, the OS service for the Diskless client. So with the networking, and you can have a thin client, but actually the thin client I mentioned is for you to run the full application in local computing resource, okay? Or you can use the DRBO system in the cluster computing or computer classroom. Basically, it lets you easily to set up the disk this environment, in Linux environment. And another project I mentioned is Chronzia. Chronzia is a partition and disk image utility. It's something like a Norton Ghost or Zoom image. So yeah, you can use for Linux, Mac OS, Windows, VSD, and something like a VMware, ESS, something like that. And you can use Chronzia for the single machine backup recovery, or you can use that for the massive deployment. For massive deployment, I mentioned it's for the computer classroom cluster, and also for you can see that there are many USB flash drive. Okay, so you can also use use Chromium to do this kind of massive deployment. And we are lots of developers, okay? And it supports, I think, 14 languages now, okay? You are very, very welcome to help us to translate the language, okay? And okay, that's the background. So so far, any questions about the background, about the NCHG, about these two projects? And before I start the stories, no? Okay, so I'll start the stories. It's back to 2001. It's more than 17 years ago. And I show you some of the slides. In the beginning, actually, we set up the first BioWolf cluster. You can tell that at that age, the monitor is still CRT. And then we use the standard PC to set up this kind of PC cluster. That's the first prototype for the cluster in NCHC. Okay, and later we got some more budget. So we, you know, it's on the rack. So it's much better than the one you saw on the desktop, okay? And we set up the machine like this, and that's before, and when it's finished, it was finished like something like this. But the problem is, we test this machine, and actually we provide some of the friendly user to use this PC cluster. But I remember after about 1 year, we have a problem with the hard drive. More than 40 or something hard drive. Back sectors, we saw a lot of back sectors. And you know, it's a problem to replace. We had to, for cluster application, you know, maybe one node stop, then the application will all stop because they use MPI or PVM, something like that to distribute the computing. So we have to wait for another hard drive, and we have to set up configuration to install the operating system and configure the hard applications. Then, you know, it took maybe a few hours to maybe 1 to 2 days to make one machine to back. So we think maybe we had to had a better solution for this. So at that time, we saw some document about the diskless environment. So okay, we set up the diskless environment for that machine and replace one by one. In the beginning, it was not 40 hard drives suddenly fail. Maybe just one and two, and later, gradually, we used the system to replace the diskless system to fix this issue. Okay, and later, I remember we have more than 30 or some or 40 machines. Actually, they were running in diskless environment. So okay, so we got experience about the diskless environment. Okay, so that's all. Some more photos. At that time, we didn't take some more photo about the environment, but just how well. And you can tell this machine is really expensive. You can see memory at that time it was very expensive networking system. Okay, that's the machine. And later the environment was ready, and we moved to the machine room, the whole system. Okay, so you can tell now the machine are actually in the machine room. Okay, but still it's a hard issue. So we use friends to call the system. Okay, that's about the photos about the cluster in the machine room. Okay, so in the beginning we have some experience about the discrete system. And back to hold on. Okay, here. Back to 2002. At that time, BSA. Anyone from Microsoft? Here? No? No? Yes. So you are familiar with BSA, right? At that time, BSA in 2002, yeah. And BSA, there are some of the, if I can, I think I can connect Anyway, VSA have some of the advertisement, and to at that time, it tell people that you build a company or you use the pilot software. Okay, if you are the I forgot the term in English, 吹哨人. Okay, and if you tell the police, okay, your company use the pilot software, you might get the highest price you got might be $1 million NT dollars. So at that time, the linear system of free software, at that time, it was not so mature to use in the the desktop environment. But some of the people they still think it's a must. We need to have another solution, not only one solution for the IT industry, especially the computing resource or the desktop environment. So the parliament, the lawmaker in the parliament have some of the public hearing, and we participate in the public hearing, and NCSC proposed we should have a national project to handle this kind of issue. We should have some of the project to take care of the open source free software. We integrate, we have something to ready for the desktop to use, and then we have other options, so we don't have to be, be locked by some of the vendors. So we met the professor, C.K. Huang, I think he is not here. And in the parliament, Professor Huang introduced Professor Mao, Anthony Mao, Professor Mao, he was there, he's there, okay. And he told us that he would like to, to teach the software, the free software in the schools. But the problem is the computing classroom or a lot of time or run Microsoft Windows system. And he told us even he would like to have someone to install the software, free operating system in that computer classroom. No computer teachers allow them to use, because after that, the teachers have to replace or have to wait for the team to replace the whole system back, to recover the system back to the original environment. It was a risk. No one would like to take that kind of risk. So, and Professor Mao think there's a LTSP system. So we should try LTSP system for the computing classroom. Okay, so he held a meeting to diagnose the LTSP system in Fuying junior high school. It was in Xinbei, right? It was in Taipei County. And that's the first time we met Andrew Lee. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I actually do not have a photo about that day. I should keep one, So I can only have the photo today for the Fuying Guozhong. And that's Andrew Lee and Professor Mao's the homepage. Okay, that's only photo I have. And later because we have the experience, so the discrete experience, we tried the LTSP, but we think it's not a good solution for the computer classroom in Taiwan, because the machine are powerful enough. I mean, the student machine are powerful enough, but we do not have the budget to have a super server for this kind, for us, an LTSP system. To run an LTSP system for 32 clients, you need at that time the RAM size, the CPU, it will spend a lot of money on that. So we tried the solution we use in the PC cluster. So after a few days, I think, we proposed at that time, at that meeting, we proposed to have a discrete system by Etherboot and NFS and NIS. Actually, Etherboot is similar to the PSC, but at that time, not all the machines have the PSC firmware, so we used the Etherboot. And later in 2000, Okay, in 2002 and in June 20, we finished the prototype. So we have one machine go to the Dafeng Primary School to teach the to let Professor Mao have a teacher to teach, and I have some photo on that day. Okay, so that day we used that server to provide the discrete desktop environment for those machines. I think it's 20 something or 30 machines on that day. Yeah, so people use this. It was running, I think, I remember it was running on Red Hat or Mandrake, I forgot, yeah. But you can tell that, that on that day, that's. And so later, in September, we announced the DRBO system in Furen University. So to tell people that we have the system ready, then you can use this kind of style for the free software education, something like that. And in 2002, in December 10, we had a hands-on class training course for the high school teachers. But it was a nightmare because we used the document. I can show you some of your document. I think that's the one. Yeah, Luzhou Guozhong. And the document is, hold on. It's, it was for Red Hat. And the document, we give all the details. But you understand that the junior high school teacher, they cannot handle this kind of document. We have to, you know, to teach step by step, and too many details we have to give. So I remember on that day, after 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, 7 hours, and just one teacher finished the desktop environment. It was, I think it was 30 something teachers, and just one finished all the steps, and the machine he installed can be as a discrete server. For the rest, they were frustrated. It was a nightmare for us. So later we think it's not a good solution to tell people the document, you read the document, and you install the system. So okay, we gave up this time. So we later turn the document into the script, the software. So in 2003, we have the before that actually we gradually developed the system. It's one not already just within 1 or 2 months. We gradually developed. Okay. Then later in 2003, that's another story for the second project, Cronia project. At that time in 2003 in March, we have a new hardware in NCSC's computer classroom. Before we have Cronia project, that computer classroom used Norton Ghost version 6 to deploy the system. But the new hardware, Norton Ghost cannot handle the new hardware. So it was, our computing classroom administrator, he had to propose to buy a new software, a lot of paperwork he had to do. So. And we think, okay, we can run a discrete server. Why not? We can just clone the system for that computer classroom. So we try to do that. So that's how we have the idea we have for the Cronia project. So in the beginning, we used the, I remember it's a Slackware system, and we used the part image project to develop the Cronia project. And in March, we have we incorporate the Cronia project into the DRBO. So in the beginning, we developed actually the server system to deploy for the massive deployment for the computer classroom. It was not only for one machine. In the beginning, we have the project for the massive deployment. So in 2004, we have a new name, because we in the beginning we just call it OCS, Open Source Cloning System. It's not a good name, so we use another name, Cronia, in 2004. So I should have some of photos about that age. Okay. So yeah, I skip some of the photos. Okay. In 2003, we also prepared a system for in the primary school to teach the software about the free software. So that's all about the DRBL system. And we also, hold on. During that age, we have some talks and some, for example, this talk, just some of the slides, hold on. Some of the talk, we have invited some of the people here. Is Enrico here? No? Oh, he's not here. I met him, yeah. So in 2003, right? I think, yeah. We also have some of the promotion about an open source project, not only our project, but also for the other open source free software. Okay, oh, Richardson, I should say free software, not own open source. Okay, so yeah, a lot of time, in 2006, I remember we have also another, and that's the first time we met Gianni. Come on, he was here. Just, okay, and never mind. All right. I have some of the photos. And we went to Indonesia. You know, at that time, there was a big tsunami in 2006, I remember. And we used the similar technology to help to build that's about the tsunami. It's nothing to do with the open Colonia or DRBL. But because of the tsunami, we went to Aceh and to help to build in the e-learning system, e-learning center. So you can see that Aceh e-learning center there. Okay. Come on, fine. All right, so then. So these photos are about a system we use at NCAC. Come on. The photo is okay? Yeah, very good, but on this machine is strange. Okay, never mind. Yeah, that's about the discrete system we use in NCAC. Actually, our administrator used the DRBL system, actually Cronia Server Edition, to deploy the system from 2003 until now, the system is still running there. Okay. And the first time we participated for the free software conference, we was in France, and George, he's not here. Yeah, this morning he was here. And he invited us to give a talk about the DRBL system. So that's how we start to participate in the free software conference, international free software conference. Yeah, that's about. And later, we have a press conference about these two projects, about DRBL and Cronia. Okay, that was for my boss request. So we had a lot. Okay, so you can tell that it was in Da Feng Primary School again. Yeah, and we showed the system and showed the solution. Yeah, for the press conference. Okay, so that's about. Then, okay, back to the here itinerary. And okay, from 2007, we started to, as I mentioned, we developed the Chronia. In the beginning, it was only for the server edition. So when people have to make a backup or to deploy a system, he needed a server to do this kind of thing. But most of people, they most of the time, maybe they just need to backup one machine. And they don't want to have a server for this kind of simple things. So a lot of time, the live system, Debian live package was mature. So we use the live package to make a Chronia live. So thank you to Daniel. Yeah, that's the first time I met you. I meet you here. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, your tool help us a lot. So we started to pack Chronia as a Chronia live. So this small distribution turned out to be successful, you know, because people they can only use a USB flash drive or a CD to to backup to recover the whole system. And so in 2007, we also, because of the Libre Software organization in France, and they introduced that, they told us that there's a contest that we can participate. So we participated in that contest. And I will show you some of the photos. Yeah, that's about the contest. It was in Soissons in France, I think. Yeah. And we show the system. We present the whole system, and we won the first prize in the public sector software. Yeah. So. And in 2009, we got a this photo. I always love it by ourselves. But we got the national prize from the premier, yeah, prime minister. Okay, you can say that prime minister. Yeah. Okay. That's the prize we have. It's a national prize. And then. Yeah, in 2010, then hold on. All right, 2010 we got the project of the month. The Chronia project was chosen as the project of the month on SourceForge. Okay, I do not. Yeah, I should find some photos about that, but I didn't put that. And in 2011, yeah. We have a, you know, that's the previous Debian leader, right? Yeah, he came to Taiwan and gave some talk, I remember. And Eric, Eric, where is Eric? Okay, all right, and we were there, yeah. So. And. In 2012, then there's a company in Japan. Hold on, let me. They use Chronia. They improve Chronia, and they put this software in their product. And they call it a Minicolinas. The company is Minicolinas. I remember the name for their solution. It's a Minicolinas Savior, System Savior, I think. Yeah, so we have a press conference for their new product. So they invite us to join their press conference. And At the same time, they also invite us to the open source conference in Japan. Yeah, it's OSC in Japan. So we have the booth there. Yeah, you can tell that. Yeah. So that's how we start to cooperate with the Minocore Linux. It's because the Minocore Linux, they really modify a lot. And they gave us a source code, and we revise, and we accept the patch. And later, Chromia can handle a lot of different, the hardware, the full page, multi-page for the hard drive, something like that. So it's because of Minocore Linux. Otherwise, before, we can only handle the disk name, like device SDA, SDB, HDA, HDB, something like that. But later, the page provides something like for this kind of a device, CCISS, something like this kind of a page for the hard drive. And also, they provide some of the diagnostic information because it's a product. So they have to collect a lot of information. If the users complain or something, they can get the information, so they can diagnose, they can fix the bug. So they contribute a lot towards our project. Okay. And okay, we start, as I mentioned, we went to some of the open source conference, free software conference, like the one in Linux Tech in, hold on. In Germany, yes. Okay. And this one is another one in 2016, yes. There's a user in near the Seattle in Washington State in United States. They told us that because they need, we provide a solution for the disk, the server edition, but it's too complicated because we have DRBO Live. You can use DRBO Live for the server edition, and we have Chromia Live for the single machine backup and recovery. But he told us it's too complicated to their users. Can you just merge them to one distribution, just called DRBO Live? With DRBO Live, we can back up one system, and we can also use to deploy the whole system. I told them that it just use DRBO Live. You can do that for the same thing. But he told us that Chromia Live is lighter and is easier to use, blah, blah, something like that. Okay, so he persuaded us. So we have a conference near his school. So we went to his lab, then we discussed for one whole day. Then later we got an idea how to implement. So later when we back to Taiwan, I remember we spent about maybe 2 or 3 months to develop this kind of system. So later we have a light server, Chromia light server. With light server, it's easier for people to use. Just with a Chromia Live, you can use one machine backup and recovery. But with the light server, you can reuse the DHCP service in the, maybe in the LAN or in the computer classroom or in the cluster environment. And with that one, you can use a multicast or BitTorrent system deployment. Okay, so we finished that one, and now it's easier for you people to use the this kind of a solution. With Chromia Live, you can have one machine backup, and you can also massive deployment for a massive disk in one computer, and or you can use a Chromia Lite server to distribute to do the system deployment for massive computers, massive client. Okay, so that's the photos, and I still have 5 minutes, so let me check. I still have photos. Okay, so a lot of time we think that's about the time we have to need to have an article about this one. So we have a journal article about the solution for the massive deployment. And it's open access. So you can just download these articles about the whole background and whole the details about this project, Cronia project. Okay. So yeah, that's I just mentioned. Okay, the live server and the journal paper. So I think I finished most of the photos. Let me check if I still have some. No? Okay. I think that's about all. I keep some of the time to answer some of the questions. So if you have questions, hold on. So if you have questions, please ask now, and or you have questions later, we have a booth outside, then we can chat, discuss more. So any questions? Yeah, please. You need a microphone. They are recording.
Does Clonezilla have a plan to distribute it to another hardware architectures like ARM or?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. Actually, we already implement the ARM 64. That's much easier for us because, hold on, let me. Actually, we have some of the testing one here, but I just put on my site. Yeah, ARM 64 is ready, and we test on the virtual machine environment. It was okay. But there are not too many ARM 64 server, so yeah, that's the problem. But ARM 32 is a little bit much more complicated for us because. I remember Debian actually dropped the support for ARM 34 from 9 or 10, right? Anyone here can answer my question? Yeah, not yet, but maybe, yeah, I remember. Because it was complicated for the bootloader, because, you know, for ARM 34, the bootloader is, I don't know how to handle that. Our team, we do not have too much time to otherwise, actually, we need this one because that I can tell you another story. I'm not sure you are familiar with the ONI network switch system. That's the one. It's because some of the, because Cronia can handle the cluster, right? But a professor in Chicago, Northwest University, Professor Chen, he told us that because he's in the network center, so he told us that okay, Cronia can deploy the whole rack system, but only for the computing node. What he needs is to deploy the whole system, include the rack computing node and the switch, so he can, you know, to swap the system very quickly because he needs the environment to do some test. So we actually that in the beginning we tried ARM 32 because that some of the only switch. It's ARM 32. I remember Cumulus. I forgot which one. It's the silver support, right? Anyone from? No, not here. Okay, because this kind of switch actually runs is running a Linux system. So it turned out to be a very good solution. I mean, if we want to deploy the network switch, we can use this one. Only switch is actually a standard by Facebook. The project is Open Computer Project, OCP, yes. So that's why we start to try ARM64. And ARM64 is ready, but we found out that, as I remember, there's no only switch. The CPU is ARM64, only 32. But there are some of the x86. Okay, so that's okay. Currently, I can handle that. But for the ARM, not really. ARM64 is ready. Yeah. But we didn't officially release because we need more tests. So if you are interested, please contact us. And if your goal is ARM64, then no problem. You can try and tell us it's working or not working there. Okay. So any more questions? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.